Pray with me. Lord our God, we do pause to pray that you add your blessing to the reading and hearing of your holy word, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts that follow may be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, I want to begin this morning, which is not my ordinary way, I know, but I want to begin with our scripture reading. We're reading from the fourth chapter of Luke, verses 14 through the first part of verse 22. Listen for the word of God. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Does anyone remember last week's sermon title? Go. Anyone notice this week's sermon title? So I want to start off, and it's kind of interesting on this weekend when we commemorate Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday and remember his life and his ministry, I want to start off with a question. I put it off thus far in the service, waited until my designated time of address, but I have to ask all of you, any of you, did you go last week? Were you Christ last week? Anyone? Did anyone bring good news to the poor? The poor, spiritually or otherwise? Did anyone proclaim release to the captives? Anyone who is enslaved in any way? Anyone help the blind to recover their sight or let the oppressed go free or proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Anyone? Why not? Why not? I have in parentheses here, or why not more of you, but no one spoke up. 2 weeks ago, we got ready and got set, and last week, go, we went. We were told to go, at least. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? Thought about that this week. I wondered, maybe we're waiting for this morning's scripture reading. As familiar as it is to us, maybe we're waiting to hear it again, just in case we heard it wrong the last time. From our scripture this morning, one Jesus of Nazareth proclaims, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me. God has sent me to proclaim and to free." He reads these from his own scriptures, from that book, that scroll of Isaiah, and then he rolls up that scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, he sits down and he says, today, that scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Yeah, we didn't hear it read wrong the last time. Maybe we're not sure if we're hearing the Spirit right as it's moved through the sermon messages I've shared this past 3 weeks. Maybe we can't hear or honestly trust that when we talk about Jesus' divinity, about how God is present in him, we must necessarily talk about our own divinity, how God is present in us. I know, given the exclusive tone of our doctrine of the incarnation, too often takes, we more commonly separate ourselves from the life and the love and the labors of Jesus. That work was and is his. Maybe we aren't ready to discover the presence of God at work in and through ourselves in ways that lead to good news and release and recovery and proclamation. I personally believe, I have to believe, not only for the sake of a hurting and a fearful world, but for our own sake, that we will at some point discover God in us. That discovery won't happen without Jesus, but it's not just about him. Who are we because of this Jesus of Nazareth? What are we called to do because he did it first? Isaiah 61, the scroll from which Jesus reads in our scripture this morning, is a servant song. And anointed me means made me Christ or Messiah. When understood literally, the passage says the Christ is God's servant who will bring reality to reality, the longing and the hope of the poor and the oppressed and the imprisoned. That was Jesus, yes. And it is us, you and me. The difference it is, seems to me, Jesus claimed it. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled. Our response for 2,000 years has been, well, 2,000 years ago, the scripture was fulfilled. And it will be again at some point when he comes again, whatever that means. Friends, I've been telling you this year, since at least Christmas, that Christmas event in Bethlehem only 3.5 short weeks ago, that we cannot claim to be Christians and say that this work is someone else's. We cannot claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ without making the same bold assertion that he did in the synagogue in Nazareth on that fateful Sabbath day. The scripture has been fulfilled. We are empowered by that life from 2,000 years ago to proclaim and claim the presence of God in us by living fully and living wastefully and by having the courage to be all that God created us to be today. We must not allow today to become yesterday or to slip into some vague someday. I hear it all the time. I know you do too. Everyone wants to know these days, how is the church doing? The real question should be, what is the church doing? Jesus stepped forward in Nazareth and declared the truth about his life, a truth that all of us, if we are who we say we are, must declare. We are filled with the power of the Spirit and anointed to bring good news to the poor, release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The incarnation, our scriptures telling of how God comes to us in human form, is not just about Jesus of Nazareth. It's about you and me. I hope that declaration is familiar by now. Lofty, lofty sentiments, best left to people, I suppose, like Martin Luther King Jr. or Nelson Mandela or Mother Teresa or Mahatma Gandhi or Jesus of Nazareth. How in the world are we supposed to know our mission or to understand what God has given us to do? How in the world? The 61st chapter of Isaiah or the 4th chapter of Luke. Who are the poor in your life? And you know darn well I'm going to remind you that poverty is not just economic, though let us not pretend that it doesn't include those with no money. No money for health care or child care or self-care. But if you find yourself not able to bring good news to the homeless or to the penniless, then consider the poor in spirit, anyone who has lost faith in love, with a capital L, whatever we choose to call it, anyone who has given up on being loved or trusting others or finding happiness or meaning or hope. Who are the poor in your life? Bring good news to them. Who are the captives in your life? I trust you realize that captivity is not limited to those who are behind bars, though let us not pretend that it doesn't include those who are locked up with little or no future and less present. But if you find yourself unable to proclaim release to the incarcerated, then consider those who are held hostage by physical or mental illness, by custom or convention, by their past or by their sense of no future ahead for them. Who are the captives in your life? proclaim release to them. Who are the blind in your life? And yes, you and I both know that we cannot give eyesight to anyone who has lost it. But what about vision and imagination? If you find yourself unable to offer that to anyone who is physically incapable of seeing, then consider those who are blinded to the reality of God in their midst, or who cannot see the light at the end of their long, dark tunnel, or whose dreams have been so crushed that they have no idea what they're looking at anymore. Who are the blind in your life? Give them vision. We're not done. Who are the oppressed in your life? And not just those who are kept down because of their race or their age or their gender or their sexual orientation. Oh, let us not pretend that this doesn't include the lingering consequences of racism or sexism or prejudice or discrimination. But if you find yourselves unable to offer freedom to victims of anyone who has been the focus of cultural injustice, then consider those who are struggling with addictions, or who are in abusive relationships, or who have been so marginalized that no one even notices them anymore. Who are the oppressed in your life? Let them go free. Who are they? No, I'm not going to tell you that. Only you can answer that. Only you know who they are in your lives. And by the way, don't overlook yourself. As we come to know the Christ in us, not denying the divinity of Jesus, but acknowledging that divinity in ourselves as well, as we focus on God's humanness and God's love of life, all of life, as we bring and proclaim and release and let go free, we don't just do what Jesus did, we do what we are supposed to do. Now, I'll bet, I hope, that if I ask my opening question again, more of you would be able to share where you were Christ in the world this past week. I'm not going to ask it again this morning, though. That'd be too easy. I'm going to ask you again next week. So be ready. This week, let the scriptures be fulfilled in our lives, for that is who we are called to be. We were told to go. Now let's go. May it be so. So be it. Amen.